current tag, because we see ourselves as a gift.
Oh, you are. You're definitely a gift.
With a big glittery bow above.
Yeah, of course.
And then we put a vinyl on the door that was a picture taken of the door open and what you see when you open the door.
Oh, wicked.
But it's also got my face, Maz's face, and the camel. And a little sign that says we're all Maz in here, but they're all just props.
Right, well, here we are at Vortex Creates. Let's have a look inside and see what's going on.
Hello!
Hello! How are you?
You found us.
I have. It was a journey, a bit of a one, but we're all right. We're here.
Find the eclectic store of ladders. What have I?
So, yeah, I'm going to get the grand tour, apparently.
Yeah, you're coming into the end of Christmas in spring, Paul.
That makes sense.
Yep. Giant mistletoes, giant crackers, and all sorts from a recent foray into film and TV. Okay.
Candy canes, you know, we're just actually deciding what to do and where to put the Christmas trees.
Okay.
And of course they're not regular Christmas trees, are they? They're like a big purple one and a bright white one.
Christmas was very different for us. Normally it is our busiest time of the year. And Christmas was sort of put on hold for lots of things we did.
Yeah.
So in the end, we just decided to decorate our own houses and bring some joy to the people around us.
And crazily, dressing our own houses is how we got the Christmas job in March, because they went under the nose of a director who saw what he liked and invited us down to dress in the style of our doorways for his set. He really liked what he saw.
What is Vortex Creates?
We're a company that do big things. We are the face of it. Two slightly crazy girls. one with red hair, one with sometimes pink
hair. One that
hair.
Currently needs a haircut.
Lockdown haircuts abound.
The thing is, there's only so long you're coming out of lockdown, isn't there? I need to sort it out. I'm the Midlands girl who went up to Manchester and did fine art, specialised in sculpture. And Nicola's originally from London and came to Coventry and did fine art, specialised in sculpture. And then Nicola remained in Coventry and I came back to the Midlands. I think we first connected over carnival and arty stuff.
Yeah. We did. The first time I met you was when you walked into that room in that crazy office building and Kathy was running a carnival workshop.
Oh my gosh.
And it was lots of artists to get brought together with. Was it the Luton Boys?
Yes, it was.
We basically just sort of met there, then worked on carnival together.
This was pre-Vortex. We were already morphing into this creative wonderment together. We transformed spaces from inside to outside, on rooftops, on the ground.
I think if you want something to be fantastically eye-catching and engaging and welcome people in, then you get in touch with the Vortex Girls and we design you something spectacular.
And would it be multi-sensory, do you think? Or do you think it's like,
is it visual? Do you know what? There's nibbling on cheesy toes and everything that happens in the Vortex world.
You need to explain some of this.
We love immersive and we really do love playing with all senses. So visual is our predominant medium, as it were. But actually, over the last few years, we've been developing our own immersive experiences. So we have something called Nightmares and Nibbles, which is where you get to nibble on a cheesy toe.
Oh, okay.
So Dr. Frankenstein invites you to,
So this involves a lot of people, doesn't it? This isn't just like
lots of people.
Yes, we've got an enormous freelance talent pool, and we know people from scenics, prop makers, technicians. So we bring people on board according to the job in hand.
And when we have a crazy idea, there's always a brilliant performer that we can work with to bring what's in our heads alive.
So who would use you then? Who, like, would it be anybody, or would it be, is it a particular type of person or group of people or organisation?
No, it's a real mix. We do small smaller things, and we love an intimate, like, just because something's small doesn't mean it can't be spectacular.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, Nicola, do you remember when we dressed that barn? I think it was for like an 18th or 21st.
Yeah, all the colourful ribbons.
All the colourful ribbons came out. Ceiling. Yes. Part of the process is trusting in us. So we got contacted by this guy who knew of us, and would, you know, got told by various people, these are the girls to transform your space. Had a budget for transforming the space, couldn't quite see what we were going to do, but in the end was like, I'm just going to turn up, do it, I'm going to trust you. And he was blown away, wasn't he?
I think we're just people that make things happen. Like, we always find a way forward, and perhaps where some people might say no, or not quite know a way forward, even if we don't know right there and then, that's how we're going to do it. We can see it.
Yes.
We can kind of, hopefully with our words and our deedles, can kind of make other people see it and go, yeah, okay. But I think we've, like, yeah, people do just trust that, because we've been doing it for a blooming long time anyway.
There is that. And a lot of our clients, they come to us, you know, they've been told no by several other companies and people, but they really, really want it. And you know, we get the calls where we're like, we can't happen like that, but how about this? So we're definitely trying to find a solution. We're more of a can-do, aren't we? And it's
where the most successful conversations are when we talk about how they want people to feel. If there is a particular theme, but maybe there's not a theme, but actually it's at Christmas, it's at Easter, it's something to celebrate, it's something to engage. You know, if we take what people want to get out of something to start with, it's better than talking about colour schemes, you know, like if you were a fan of blue, Paul, we would make you something blue. But, you know, actually, like when you have a broader conversation about what makes a fabulous event for you, what do you want, how do you want to bring joy to you and everybody around you, then we can create from there. And sometimes it's like a little thing, like I'm just kind of looking behind you at some really crazy lampshades that are on our shelf that are kind of a mix of colours but predominantly wrapped in fake grass with flourishes of flowers and bits of foliage. And that was with a group of people that are put on a festival called Shoot Festival. And their branding and their whole ethos is about nurturing new talent. And for us, that was a really great brief, wasn't it? Nurturing new talent. And their branding was all about kind of leaves and shoots
and new life.
Yeah.
And we were like, yes, we've got just the perfect kit for that.
Do you find you're very successful at people not having to come back? Or do you find that people just go, oh yeah, I like that, and jump on board once they see what you've got in terms of ideas?
Well, we're at our best when the client allows us to be creatively free. So we've got really good retention with clients that we build up over time. And like, so the first meeting, and they go, yes, we really like what you do. And they're a bit unsure. But do you know what? We're going to get something good out of these girls. So they roll with us. But there might be, you know, 50 emails, a few phone calls. The result is brilliant. I'm thinking back to our very first gig with the Hilton group, where we actually had the event organisers of the committee, like, crying with joy.
Oh, wow.
Because we totally, totally blew them away and far exceeded their expectations. So we got booked for the next year for their annual party, and then the whole creative process became much more of a joy.
50 emails went down to 5.
Yes.
You know.
But for us and for them, they enjoyed it more as well, and we were able to throw them more ideas, you know.
Yeah.
They said no to a few of them, but they were much more like amenable, welcoming ones. So with that client, so each year we just feel it's got better and better and better. And again, we bring in extra touches. You know, we often do a lot with edible decor when we do like parties and things, because, yes, it's, and it might be hidden away somewhere. Like one time we did like a forest of trees, and from it there were hanging like cookies that you could pick from the tree. And then you went down your woodland path and you've come across like a nice seating area, and it was, oh, and there's some edible mushrooms on the table that you could pick and eat. So we like to do different.
Our skill is as designers and creators and kind of coming up with that concept.
Yeah.
And then we are really good at bringing teams together because there's some awesome people out there, isn't there? Yeah. That we kind of go, do you know what? We need a really brilliant backdrop painting, or we need a paint effect on this. Oh, we're called Jay, we're called Zoe, we're called whoever.
Yeah.
Almost like a bit of a one-stop shop. So if you think it needs, I don't know, someone playing a harp, or if you need someone spinning some tunes and doing some mixing, you know,
you can
get all that. That's what I mean. So when you come to Vortex Crates, it's you that creates something around what we're asking for, but maybe even more than we could have imagined, really, which is really got to be the gold standard, hasn't it?
And if they're not in our talent pool, then we source and find them, and we're in a very networked environment, aren't we?
But the thing is, I don't have to do it. I like the idea that I come to you and you say, you've obviously had lockdown, presumably been a bit crazy for you, in that it's limited some of the stuff you can do. You know, give me a bit of context as to what happened with lockdown, and then give me some idea of what you're heading for, so include City of Culture's coming up. There's some exciting times ahead, aren't there?
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Wind back and move forward.
And it's got to that stage now, I think, because we are starting to feel the world is moving, and it is exciting for us.
Yeah. It must have been hard to begin with, though.
It was devastating.
Devastating is the word that was in my head. Yeah.
Yes, catastrophic. And I might get quite emotional to speak about it now. Because it was, like, you know, our world just dropped off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it was the scariest free fall we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it was also, I think, what made the fall even greater was that we, at that point, just before, not only was our calendar starting to look brilliant for the year ahead, but we were just going on to a scale-up programme, West Midlands Creative Scale-Up Programme, where we were looking to grow, looking to take staff, we were looking, you know, like we'd really, we were so excited about the future, and then, in 36 hours we lost everything, all of our work,
because there was no warning for anyone, was there really?
No warning, and this was all before, like, lockdown date was the 23rd of March, and actually we lost our last booking at our diary on the 18th of March, and I believe it might have been before lockdown was formally announced, but it really was like, what's going on?
A really difficult time, I think. Again, we all felt it, and so to anyone listening, you know, empathies and sympathies with you as well, because it's been really, really tough. I feel like, and I'm hoping that spring is starting to come in that real sense of Christmas. Moving forward and of Christmas.
We were lucky because we started out knowing each other as colleagues and people working on a carnival together. And, you know, we have been colleagues for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
But we are also really good friends now.
Yeah,
and I think that's what makes our design... get emotional. It's what makes us, you know, what makes us work as collaborative partners.
Yeah.
We kept each other going, and we had highs and lows, but we continued to kind of be heads on desks throughout it all.
As we called it.
You know, then towards the end of last year, City of Culture had the Coventry Glides, which was ice skating in the cathedral ruins, and they asked us to be their creative... visionaries, so that is what we did, and so we brought Rockefeller Christmas trees to Coventry Cathedral en masse.
Wow.
And it was joyous to design the space and to work with other people and to actually be out.
It felt a real privilege. It's such a special place in the city, but it was actually a joy to be able to bring back part of our freelance team together again, wasn't it?
It was en masse, like there was 15 of us, like, you know, working on site.
And it was the perfect socially distanced activity. We gave them each a tree, you know, and...
Well, some of them could be up the tower, I suppose.
Well,
that's a long way off the ground.
Well, do you know what? I was up the tower at beginning of the day, end of the day, doing those, you know, like the aerial,
this
is how the space changes.
Wow.
No, but it was the perfectly social... distanced activity, because it, each of our stylists was able to work on their own tree outdoors. And, you know, we designed it so even the Christmas trees were socially distanced. It was perfect.
But it was, you know, it was a beautiful thing to work on. There's some beautiful images of it. We know that experiences bring joy to people.
Yeah.
But particularly in these times,
mm-hmm.
people need to connect.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can still do that socially distanced. But if you're in an environment that is exciting and joyous and has been considered, even if you are 2 meters apart, it still warms your heart,
and
makes you feel part and connected with other people. So that was awesome.
There wasn't too many live events happening around the Midlands, let alone the UK. So it really felt like, for us sitting in the live event sector, to be part of a pioneering, this is a real life event in a pandemic year, it just felt, yes,
yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
are,
moving
we're moving,
again.
We're yeah, moving yeah, again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Until
and then
it did get cut, unfortunately.
Cut short.
Yeah.
But for a moment in time, it was good.
Almost then, like you needed that. And so did the people you were creating it for, I guess.
It radiated this glow, didn't it, in that area of the city. And there was a nice little hum and hub around it from the outside, because it just felt, oh, life is starting to bubble, or rather glow again, you know. Mm. It was
that's what Coventry's been about, well, you know, since the end of the Second World War, wasn't it? You know, the whole thing about the peace and, like,
well,
the peace centre.
Well, even before that, like, we won't get, like, this is not a history podcast of Coventry, but Coventry is a phenomenal city that has constantly reinvented, re-inspired, had people come and set up in the city and make things fabulous. Oh, right, well, we don't really make ribbons anymore, but we know the technology to make a ribbon weaving machine can then go into bicycle production, and then we know that bicycle production can go into motor car production. And, you know, there's so many transferable skills, and Coventry's awesome.
And you're just carrying that forward, really, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I think this last lockdown has felt almost tougher.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, the first one was just absolute devastation.
Yes, and unknown and fear.
Yeah, yeah, you know, of
course. I think back now to how I felt then, and yeah, it was fear. I didn't know what was going on. It was, yeah, it was dealing with the unknown.
Like, and now it's almost like frustration, along with all those other things, kind of like underpinning it all. But
you're almost like you're revving at the starting line again, aren't you, and wanting to bring all that stuff you've learned through lockdown and just doing what you do the most. I mean, what did you guys learn, do you think?
That what we do is really needed. Like, even though we haven't been able to do it, actually, you do need good designers in this world, because we all have seen very bad design over this time and very bad designer spaces. You do need to really consider and really think about and have a conversation with other people, and people like us that go, have you thought about this? It's not just a trial and error. There is a science to making things look good and feel good, and it's about that, isn't it?
I know and I think we as Vortex, a lot of what we do is about your gut instinct and whether something feels right to do or not. And over lockdown, I feel like I've learned that I really need to listen to it, because I would say 99% of the time it's right. And for me, coming out of this, I am totally going to be listening to my gut. We've got a real business plan to push Vortex forward.
Yeah.
I think it's remaining true to that and remaining
heart-centred as well.
Very heart-centred, Paul. Mm. Yes, really heart-centred.
You know, yes, the world is opening up, but we're going to live in a very different world for a time to come.
Yeah.
Outdoor spaces, like woodlands, are always beautiful but actually there can be beauty everywhere, and those moments of joy. Like, I'm just actually looking crazily at the bottles that we've got there with pictures of our old work.
This is the year they're going up, Nicola.
I know. And basically, like, we did a transformation in
We did it. These were for our 10-year anniversary. Oh, like wicked. We did some 10 green bottles hanging on a wall. One of the pictures on there is from a project we did called Utopia, which was in Victoria Square in Birmingham. And the whole brief of that was, you know, it was for Victoria Square to be a performance space. And so people were dancing in the fountain, and we dressed the floozy in the jacuzzi to become this golden goddess. But the brief with that, like for us as designers, was can you transform that space so that people know that something's going to happen, but that makes them stop and take notice of a space that generally they just walk past and walk through. And I think sometimes your surroundings can become like wallpaper and you don't really notice it. And what we love to do with spaces and cities, and particularly in Coventry at the moment, is look at those spaces and go, oh my goodness, like that's a brilliant bit of architecture, or that's a great space. What could we as designers bring to that as a temporary or semi-permanent piece that transforms it and make people look twice and bring a smile?
You're kind of saying, no, this is a time to look ahead, to look around you, to see what's there, to look up even.
And to share a moment notice the day. With other people.
Share a moment, for sure.
That is what really excites us about our work, is, and when we take pictures or when we're watching people experience our work at an event, whatever that might be, is that those moments of laughter and fun that happens when people connect, or they spot the pink glittery flamingo, or they spot the gold head with horns, or they pick a edible mushroom off of a grass tabletop. Those things, like, we just want to create moments where people can share something together.
I've definitely started the conversation as to how you fit into this world of ours. It's sometimes a bit confusing, but ultimately should be joyous, and I think you brought that to the podcast today.
We always bring the sparkle.
And then pull the door to you, and we're just leaving outside.
Yeah. Bye.
We'll
stop there. I like that.
If you've enjoyed our first podcast, well, there's more coming. We'll see you in a couple of weeks in conversation with Sarah Worth of Highly Sprung Performance Company.
Yay! Why not subscribe in your app so you don't miss an episode? And in the meantime, if you need anything, find us across the social with our handle @VortexCreates.
Bye for now!